Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. Today's topic is a very, very important topic, a very practical topic. And what's so stunning for me is that it's not discussed in the Sefarim HaKadoshim. The topic I am referring to is Lashon Hara when talking about Shiduchim. And this shir should be the Refuas Refa Menashe Kapo Ben Naomi, and Shira Baschana, and Toibi Hudis Bas Tamagasia, and Zev Eliezer Ben Chaya Shendel, and Miriam Rivka Basadina Leia, Bisok Shar Chole Yisrael, and Lili Nishmas Esther Bas Rav Shmuel, Chana Bas Rav Yitzhak Yona, Aaron Ben Yaakov Shachna, and of course, Leben Asher Ben Brindel. Sweetest friends, the response to literature is filled with shilas. Shailas about Hilchas Bishul on Shabbos. Shailas about Hilchas Tefillah. Shailas about Hilchas Tefillin. All the most minute details of Halacha are covered in the vast literature of vast response of literature. And yet, Bechlal Hilchas Lashon Hara is barely discussed. And this is not Maisim Shebechol Yom. It's Maisim Shebechol Rega. And even after the publication of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, there hasn't really been very much discussion about Hilchas Lashon Hara. I'm saying in the more scholarly literature, you have more second-hand literature, you have a translation to the Chafetz Chaim that they put out, and occasionally in Musar Sfarim they'll talk about speaking Lashon Hara. It's a lot more in the consciousness of the community, but just the fact that if you look in the Shailos and Tshuva Svarim, you barely find a thing about Lashon Hara. It's stunning. And you find about every things that barely ever happen, you find. But when it comes to Hilchas Lashon Hara, there's very, very little. And specifically Lashon Hara in the realm of Shiduchim, which is the one time where, one of the rare times, where one Dafka sometimes should speak Lashon Hara, as we'll get to. And I never see it discussed, even though I'd like to reach out in Tshuva Sfarim. So I went on the computer, and I went onto a computer program with 26,000 Sfarim, and I checked, does anybody talk about it? Are there any Tshuvas? And I didn't find anything. So this is something that I wish, I wish was more discussed, but this is something that really... It's very, very important. We know that Lashon Hara is a very, very chomer aveira. We know there are 17 possible losases, 14 possible assays, 3 possible orrors, and 1 is cursed. It's a very serious aveira. And in Shiduchim, everybody gets to that parsha in their own life. And people are parents, and they have children, and they want to find out, they want to be mevara about the other side. And they have to know what can be said and what not can be said, what's not allowed to be said. So the truth is, I haven't heard any shiurim about it either. Shiurim and Hilchas Lashon Hara there are, but about Shiduchim, it's rarely, if ever, discussed. People just assume that if it's for a shidduch, you're allowed to say, but that's not so pashut. So our job today is going to try to give a little bit of an outline, but of course, sweetest friends, at the end of the day, if one has a shaila, one goes to a Rav, to a Talmud Chacham, and asks, what am I allowed to say? What am I not allowed to say? I was asked this and this question. I don't know, I'm doubting it. So today is just to give some general guidelines, but I'm definitely not here to paskin halacha. I leave that to people greater than me. There's a sefer on a parish on the Chafetz Chaim, which is written by a Rav in Bnei Brak, named Rav Moshe Kaufman. And this Rav Kaufman has a commentary on the bottom of the Chafetz Chaim, called Nesiv Chaim and Shvile Chaim. And then in the back of the Sefer, which I highly recommend, he has a kuntras called Mei Menuchos. Mei Menucha. And this Mei Menucha, because the Targum of Vatishko Ta'aretz, the earth was quiet, is Ushadichas Ara. So the Targum of Shidduch is Menucha, which is quite interesting. Unfortunately, Shidduchim... Many times you don't have so much menucha when you're in Shiduchim. And parents whose children are in Shiduchim certainly don't have menucha. But that's the name of his kuntres, and he actually talks about it. This is the one place. And he also doesn't have a wealth of sources to learn from. He just has, there's one siman in the Kilas Yankov. The Stipler wrote in the in Yevamos, and Siman Lamed Ches. But other than that, there's very, very little literature on the topic. I'm sure there are things that I haven't seen that have been written, but in general, there's very little literature. And here's the whole kuntres on this topic of Shiduchim and Lashon Hara and Shiduchim. So that being said, let's get down to business. Somebody asks about a Shidduch, and you want to say that you want to find out about a girl for your son, and or somebody wants to find out about a girl for their son, for his son, for her son, and they start asking you about the girl. So you're allowed to say negative things about the girl. So we know that the rule is that if it's Lashon Hara L'Toeles, then it's mutter. That if there's going to be a practical benefit gain, then you're allowed to say it. However, that's not a straight, flat-out heter that just allows you to say everything. Rather, you have to meet certain conditions. My cousin, Rabbi Avraham Erman, wrote a book on Hilchos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and there he defines very nicely, why is Lashon Hara L'Toeles mutter? Why is it mutter to say Lashon Hara if there's a practical benefit? So his answer is that it's not ra. Lashon Hara is evil gossip. But it's not evil if there's a toeles. So the Chafetz Chaim says in Hilchos Lashon Hara and Klal Yud as follows. Im echad ra adam she'asa avlo l'chaveiro, if you see somebody who did something wrong to his friend, kagon she'gazlo, he stole from him, he harmed him, and you know that he hasn't compensated him, and he hasn't asked this person for mechila, so you're allowed to tell this to other people in order to help the person who was harmed, and in order to be megane his deeds, in order to be critical of his deeds in the eyes of Brios, so that people don't act inappropriately. So you're allowed to come out against this person. So the Chafetz Chaim says the toelis is lazor lasher ashem lo, to help the person who was harmed, and also legano samaisim aroin, in order that people should stay away from derech haresha. You're allowed to say something. So that's lashon hara. Again, we said it's not ra, but that's speech l'toelis. And in the Nesif Chaim, he explains that when the heter of Lashon Hara L'Toeles isn't learned from a pasuk, and we don't find a drash on this in Chazal, but it's a svara, it's not ra. So the Chafetz Chaim said, what are the conditions to speak Lashon Hara L'Toeles? So he says, number one, you have to see it yourself, it has to be first-hand knowledge. And not that you heard it from others, unless if what you heard from others you know is true. Number two, Shizar ma'ot shlo yachle tekef v'sa'inyan b'dato l'gezel v'oshek ol l'hezek ha'yotze v'zeh rak yizbonein heite v'se'etzem ha'inyan imu'al pidin b'chlal gezel o hezek. You have to make sure when you're speaking Lashon Hara L'Toeles that it's what you're saying is really true. The person really is a gazlan. Person really did harm his friend. Sometimes when you think about it first, when you think about it for a while, you realize that it's not so true. Remember, I always say there are not two sides to every story, there are about 30 sides. You hear it from one person, you hear it from another person, you hear it from another person. And you hear so many different stories, so you have to make sure you know that it's really true. Number three, before you say anything to anybody else, you have to be mochiach hasachot emitchila, or belashon raka. Maybe you can help return the person to good. Number four, shlo yagdil havla yosemi mashehu, You shouldn't make the evil deed worse than what it is when you're actually saying what you're saying. In order, for example, that people stay away from the Derech Hara, you have to make sure not to embellish it with any of your own details. Number five, and this is extremely important when it comes to Shidduchim, Shechavin L'Toeles. Your Kavana has to be purely for benefit. V'lo Le'hanos Mipagam Ahu Shunosim B'Chavero. And not to be Nana. Ooh, it's fun to say this Geshmak a piece of Lashon Hara. V'lo Mitzat Sheyesh Lo Alav Sina Mikvar. Not because you hate him. Sometimes, Rahman al-Islam on the internet, you see people speaking Lashon Hara, saying terrible things about people. I'm talking about religious people who are officially mitzvah observant. So once I was sent to such a site because I was asked to do something, and I emailed the person, and he said, no, it's mutter. I only have people's benefit in mind. But the way he was trashing this person, I asked him, I said, oh, you fulfilled all the conditions of Lashon Hara l'Toeles? You only have Kavana l'Toeles? You don't hate this person? I hate him. I want him to die. Of course I hate him. So no, it has to be completely l'Toeles. That has to be one's Kavana. So if someone's asking about a shidduch, and you have to say something negative, it has to be l'Toeles. And if there are other ways of achieving this Toeles, that you don't have to speak the Lashon Hara, then you're not allowed to do it. You have to do it have to avoid the Lashon Hara. Because you can achieve the Toeles otherwise. And also you have to make sure that no harm is going to be done to the person spoken about more than he deserves al-pi din. And then the Chafetz Chaim expands on this. On all these, on the various conditions. And you can look again in Chafetz Chaim, Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Yud. But for our purposes, here it's talking about where somebody harms somebody else, and you want to speak in order to be marachik people miderech hara, in order to help the person who was harmed. So that's lashon hara l'toeles. But certainly in a shidduch, like Rav Kaufman points out, that the heter is a lot more pashut. That we understand that you don't want this person to be harmed in the shidduch. Sometimes if you don't say, then it's lo samar al dam re'echa. Then you're over in an Isra d'oraisa. I've heard many terrible stories. And many, 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 many more I haven't heard. Of people who didn't say anything before the shidduch. And people were harmed. I personally know about a Hasidish Rebbe, well-known Hasidish Rebbe, whose family was wiped out in the war. And he wanted to get remarried afterwards. And they set him up and everything was ready to go. And then he found out that they lied to him about the age. Terrible, Shabba, terrible. So what you're going to say, if you know about this, you're not going to tell him? Say, no, it's Lashon Hara to say, because that's going to harm her. Say that she's 45 and she can't bear children anymore. It's a mitzvah to tell him. In the end they told him, but he didn't want to embarrass the woman, so he married her and he never had children. I once heard a story about a woman who took out a knife on her husband on the second day of marriage, third day. And then the guy went back to the people and he said, how come you didn't tell me she's mentally ill? And they answered, we thought she'd change with marriage. Now, if a person's mentally ill, this is something that the person has to know before going under the chuppah. So sometimes if you don't say, then you're causing the person a lot of damage. The person can't be too big. I'll teach tzadik harbe, Pasuk says. Sometimes you have to say. But again, you have to meet the conditions. When you say something, you can't say more than there actually is. Don't embellish the facts. Don't add your own personal commentary. Just the facts, ma'am, is the old line in the movie used to go. And also, like we mentioned, very important, the kavana should be l'toeles. Not to get hana from speaking. Finally, oh, I get my opportunity to speak Lashon Hara. No. One's intention has to be, I just want to help this person. I'm not getting any benefit, any joy, any pleasure from saying something negative about somebody else. So that's number one. When in fact, now we have the question, now we have a heter to say. When should one say, or when shouldn't one say? To paraphrase Shakespeare, to say or not to say? That is the question. So says Rabbi Kaufman, it's a dabar pashut, that a third party shouldn't reveal anything on his own unless he sees a clear loss to one of the sides. And in such an instance, not only is there a heter to say, but it's a mitzvah to say. Because you're removing nezek, you're saving this person from harm. So when you see a chisaron, a hefsed, a clear hefsed to one of the sides, then you must say, even if you're not asked about it. But you see this person's in a shidduch. Let's say you went out with a certain boy, and you know some really, really terrible things about this boy, and now your friend is going out with her, and she's in love, such a handsome boy, so smart. He plays the guitar, the piano. She's crazy for him. But you happen to know about some very, very serious emotional issues he has. So you have to, the girl has to know about it. You have to tell her. But the question is, what exactly is something that mandates telling? What's a chisaron? What's a character flaw that one should say and what shouldn't be said? So number one, let's say it's a chisaron atzum. It's a very, very, very serious flaw. And it's something that's a davar galui. It's something that everybody can see. Then you don't have to say. Why do you have to say? Everybody saw it. We're talking, what you have to reveal is something that people don't see. Like the Chafetz Chaim says, when are you allowed to tell? Machla pnimi she'ena gluya l'kol. It's something that people don't see. Incidentally, there's a tshuva about this in the Tzitz Eliezer. He was asked by a doctor. The doctor says, I'm an eye doctor, and I see all this person has bad eyesight. And he's driving. He shouldn't be driving. Am I allowed to tell the authorities? What about the Hippocratic Oath? So the Tzitz Eliezer has a discussion there, and he says, of course, you're chayev to tell. This guy's a rodef. He's endangering people's lives. Driving if he can't properly see. But that's something that you can't tell. So if it's a chisaron atzum, it's a very, 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 very serious impediment. And this would be an ikuv for the marriage. This is something that would stop somebody from getting married if they knew about this. And it's not galui lakol. So you should say, unless there's a discussion by the stipler in Yevamos and Siman Lamed Ches, that let's say you have a mum and a mekach, a person's going to buy something, and it has some sort of blemish, and the person, bakal, could be mevayer, a person can discover this blemish very easily, and he doesn't. So is the person allowed to claim mekach tos? On one hand, he could have very easily revealed it, and he didn't. So maybe it's his own fault. Or maybe no. Maybe he can still claim that it's a mekach tos. In the end, he didn't know about it, and he bought this item. However, for our purposes, sometimes people are just questions that they don't ask. So you're right, they could have verified this, but there's some things, sometimes maybe they were lied to. It's very, very common. I don't want to say this about all shatchanim, but I once heard from a rabbi in Yerushalayim who gives shiurim on shiduchim, that shatchan is Rosh HaTevas, sheker dover kesef notel. That he lies and he takes money. So there are shatchanim like that. It's their parnasa. When it comes to money, like I heard from Rav Yaakov Darmoni Shlita, Rabbi Nativ Aryeh, Kishimidubar b'kesef ein yirat shemayim. When it's money, don't be selmech on yirat shemayim. A lot of times you have people lying, so that's shatchanim. Lots of times people want somebody to get married, they feel badly for the person. So they hide things. So I think in Shidduchim, if you see a chisaron atzum, an extremely serious impediment, that would be an ikuv that would stop a side if they knew about it from marrying this person. Even though you assume that they would know it on their own, it's not completely obvious, but it's something that they can discover, they can reveal. But you should say it, because maybe it was hidden from the person. Right, when it comes to Shiduchim, again, people very often lie, so you have to really ask questions, and this is nefashos here. Sometimes somebody doesn't find out about something, and afterwards to have to suffer with this person, or to have to get divorced, and the damage to the children, and to one's own life. So if it's a chisaron atzam, obviously if the person is blind, and they can see the person is blind, you don't have to say the person is blind. You're not helping anybody. But if it's something that's, for example, mental illness, this is something that's very, that's ma'akev. A lot of people I know wouldn't want to be married to somebody with mental illness. So you have to say in advance. However, this is only something that would stop the two people from getting married. But to go ahead and offer information that's stam negative at the very beginning, before they've even met each other, at the beginning, people are much more likely to be mevatel l'shidduch at the beginning than afterwards. Afterwards, once the family or once the couple already got to know each other and they really like each other, and then, let's say, you know, she finds out that he has a certain illness. He has something that, you know, you could live with, but it makes life, you know, it makes life a little bit more difficult. So in such an instance, so one certainly shouldn't reveal it at the outset, because she would marry him despite this. So don't say anything. Now, if it's something that she has to know, especially if it's something that afterwards she'll be furious for years that she wasn't told, so then as the shidduch is getting closer to being closed, it should be told to her. And that really is the case a lot of times. A lot of times, you really have to tell the person, listen, I was asked about you, about this and this, and I just want you to know that al pi din, and it has to be discussed what, but very often al pi din, you have to tell her before, you have to tell him, before you're standing under the chuppah, the person has to know about this. So it shouldn't be said at the outset, but it should be said eventually. So again, there's certain things that should be said right away. Person shouldn't even meet the person. First, they should know about this very, very, very critical information. And there are other things that are less serious, but are also serious issues, that one shouldn't know about at the beginning, because then one isn't going to go out in the first place, and then you're just harming the person with this deficiency. But over time, it should be told. It should be revealed to the person. So it's better if the boy or the girl tells the other party themselves, and then nobody else has to get involved. But if you see that it's not happening, then you have to be the one to say. So again, I'm being very general. What should be told immediately? What should be told later on? So these are all things. How serious is serious? So these are all things people have to use their own shikul das, and they have to ask a rav. But again, the klal generally is something that would be ma'akev the marriage. And not a little thing, somebody isn't asked. And they know that so-and-so, you know, sometimes he sleeps late, he misses minyan. Sometimes the girl, she's, you know, one of her friends asked to do a favor, and she doesn't, she could, but she's a little bit on the lazy side. So that's not something that's going to stop a marriage. So that's not something that should be said, that's not information that should be offered at all. We're talking about things that are more critical. So let's read a little bit inside what Rabbi Kaufman says. He says, "B'chisaron shekarov lios atzum." Let's say you have a deficiency that's almost a critical one. It's not 100% the most serious thing in the world, but it's serious. And in this case, there's a safek. Would the other side b'di'eved be willing to marry this person because of all the positive characteristics? So he says, apparently you should tell. Since you have a suffix, would they want to marry this person given these deficiencies? So if it's a chisaron atzum, so as we said, you should say, because that's something that you know might very well be makif the marriage. The other side wouldn't want it if they would know about it. But this is something that you're not sure. If the other party would know about it, maybe they would want to get married, and maybe they wouldn't want to get married. So So apparently this is something you should say, because let them decide. Let the other party decide. However, not so fast, because the stipler says in Yevamos and Siman Lamed Ches, at the beginning, every little thing is going to stop a person from going out. And certainly a big thing. Find out the girl has diabetes. So a guy's not going to go out with a girl with diabetes. But after he gets to know her, goes out with her 4 or 5 times, all of a sudden he says, I can deal with it. If she can deal with it, I can deal with it. And also, you never know. I heard a story recently, Rachmana Litzlan, about a boy who was going out with a girl who had a certain illness, and it's something that she could live with. But his father gave him an aid, so his father said, listen, why marry a girl with the illness if you can marry a girl without the illness? To find somebody else. So he said, yeah, Dad, but maybe I'll marry somebody else, a healthy girl, and she'll get sick and die young. And that's what happened. He married a young woman, and soon after the marriage, she got sick and she died very, very prematurely. So you really, Kobi de Shemaim, you never know, my sweetest friends. In any event, the stipler said, don't tell a big chisaron until the couple already knows each other, they like each other. In the Haredi world, it goes quicker than in the modern world. But make sure that things are quite advanced. And this way, they can decide, do we want to marry this person given this chisaron? Val kein ein shum mitzvah beheter la adam zer legalos chisaron gadol. There is no mitzvah or even a heter for a third party to reveal a very serious deficiency in one of the two sides. Ela achar shelosh et stadim igiu laskama klalis. If you see that a couple's engaged or they're about to get engaged, and you know that one of the sides has a very serious problem, that if the other side would know about it, they wouldn't want to get married, and this person won't tell on his own. So you should say, but not until that point, until they're in a very advanced stage. But beforehand, it's just harming the person. Because this is something that maybe the other side would be willing to live with. The other side would be willing to get married because they have so many milas, we all know. Every person has milas and chesronos. Positive qualities and negative qualities. So maybe after they get to know the person's positive qualities, they'll be willing to live with the negative qualities. Ishio dea maris nafsho. We all know in ourselves that we're not perfect. We all have chisronos. For example, my chisaron is that I live in the old city of Jerusalem, and sometimes I have to hear church bells in the background like I'm listening to right now. So that's a chisaron in me, but I want to live in the old city. I married my wife. I said to her, you're marrying me, you're marrying Yiratika. That was it. And that's 15 years now almost. Even though there was once an almost, we almost left, but the siyata d'shmaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu helped me stay, and I would like to stay here until 120. But there are church bells, ain't malasot. 3 times a day church bells, 5 times a day the mujain. By the way, what time is prayers in the Vatican? This is off the topic. What time are prayer services in the Vatican? At sunrise. At Vatican. Okay, anyway, sweetest friends. So therefore, you have to be very careful. So Rabbi Kaufman separated into a chisaron atzum and a chisaron she'eino atzum. But karov lios atzum. If it's a chisaron atzum, so then before they even meet, the other side should already know about it, because they're not going to marry the person if they know about this. So what's the point? What's the point in causing harm to everybody? But if it's a chisaron shekarov lios atzum, which means that you're not sure, maybe it'll stop a person from getting married, maybe it won't, that should definitely not be said at the outset. Let them know each other, let them fall in love. And then let the person decide. Otherwise, there's some people who'll never get married. And again, we all know in ourselves how many chasaronos. I mentioned the chisor, and that I could say really isn't my fault. If it were up to me, there would be churches in the old city. But people have, a person has chves, a person has chronic constipation. So to tell the girl right at the outset that the boy has chronic constipation, so what does she have to know that for? She doesn't want a guy who's going to have to, sit in a small room without a mezuzah for an hour a day, an hour and a half a day. She doesn't want to start with that. She wants to start with a clean slate, completely healthy. But that's not something that should be said at the outset. I don't know if that's something that should be said at all. Because at the end of the day, if you have a guy who's a big tzaddik, if you have a girl who's a big tzaddikess, so it's worth it for the other side to be married to such a person despite this chisaron. There are other chisronos, so sometimes, again, if it's currently osatzu, maybe it'll stop a marriage. It should be said only in an advanced stage. If it's definite that it'll stop the marriage, don't even let the person get started in the first place. It's not going to happen anyway. Why even let the people meet? Let us continue. It says in Eben Ezer and Simon Bey's Seif Zion that if you shouldn't marry somebody from a family of mitzoroim, of lepers, or other serious diseases. V'hu shehuchzeku gimel pa'amim shiyavo b'neim lidekach. Because it's going to be, if there's a chazaka of three times that you have the serious illness, you shouldn't get married, because there's a chazaka that's going to be passed on to the children, like we know today. We're very careful that we take Tay-Sachs tests before we get married. We don't want to pass over any illnesses to our children. So, b'nogei alin yaneinu, if you know that a certain family has a genetic illness that is life-threatening, and it's a holy shehuchzak, that you know that it's going to be passed down, or there's a serious doubt and serious concern that it's going to be passed down, and it's happened in this family at least three times, then you should tell the person. That's considered a chisaron atzum. The boy has to know if in the girl's family they have a certain illness that he might very well pass down to his own children. But if it's less than three times, then, says Rabbi Kaufman, there's no heter to say it on your own unless they ask you. Again, the halacha is different. Sometimes there's a difference between offering information and when they ask you. Because a lot of times when they ask you, this is something they're showing. By asking, a lot of times they're showing that this is something that's a matter of great concern to them. And sometimes it's not. They're just asking. They like to clarify issues. So there's a difference between the heter. There's a lot more of a heter if you're asked than if you're not asked. But if you're asked, then you're allowed to say that there's an illness in the family, even though it doesn't have a chazaka of three times. But if you're not asked, then you know that this family has a... So if you're asked, you're allowed to say, even if it doesn't have a chazaka. If you're not asked, make sure that there's a chazaka in the family. And then you're allowed to say. And he also says, let's say the kala herself has sisters who have certain illnesses. So here, a lot of times a person won't get married. That's a chisaron atzum. So here one should say, even if not asked. And also emotional, mental illness. When somebody in the family has a mental illness, so this is karav l'inyanei nefashos, so a lot of times somebody knows that this person's father is mentally ill or mother is mentally ill. That's going to be ma'akev. Now in some families, because it's genetic, so in some families it's passed down to some children and not all the children. So first of all, make sure it's actually mental illness. Because sometimes, today there's a lot of nerve in people, a lot of times nervous and depressed, but it's not really mental, clinically, it's not considered mental illness. It's just people have downs and ups. So in such an instance, my own personal inclination is that if you don't know that the child has it from the parent, but you know that the parent has mental illness, My own inclination is to wait until the couple's gone out a few times. And then the girl should know, or the boy should know. You should clarify if it wasn't passed down. Because a lot of times a person is willing to marry somebody who has a parent who has mental illness. You know, it's not the ideal. You'd rather have two healthy in-laws. But if you don't, libidiyevet, one is often willing to get married. But maybe the child also has it, or maybe, I don't know, one has to ask a doctor, does it sometimes skip a generation? So sometimes one wouldn't get married. So certainly after they've met, when they stand under the chuppah, they shouldn't be standing under the chuppah, not knowing that there's mental illness in the family. So at some point it has to be revealed. Again, for me, it's always, my preference is always that the person himself tells. And then you avoid all questions, what you should say, what you shouldn't say. It's better that the couple be completely honest with each other, and they tell as the relationship develops. More and more issues are revealed. I know a girl who went out with a guy, I remember when I was in yeshiva, and on the first date she spilled everything. And the girl's being very, very wonderful, she's very honest. But you don't have to say everything on the first date. He's gonna run away, this boy ran away. People are often taken aback when you're so open right at the outset. So as the relationship is developed, the ideal, and this is for the boy and the girl to know, that the other side should know. And if the more they get to know you, the more they like you, the more they'll be willing to deal with your chesronos. So I don't know if you have to say every little thing. You know, sometimes you're in the middle of learning, you're mevatel Torah. I don't know if you have to say that. That's unfortunately something that's quite common. And it's not going to make the girl like you any better that she knows sometimes you're mevatel Torah, but she'd marry you anyway. But there are things that a person should say. A person has allergies, so it's not going to stop the marriage. But it's not nice that the girl should find after she gets married that you have allergies. She'll be angry at you for hiding it. I know somebody who hid his age. The woman only found out how old the husband was many, many years after they got married. She was looking at old documents of his. She found out when his bar mitzvah was. She made a chesed and she said, oy vavoy. So the girl should know exactly how old the guy is at the beginning. So if it's not asked, then maybe one doesn't have to say. But one certainly shouldn't. If you see the other side as a certain impression, one shouldn't mislead that person. Although I saw in a sefer, and this is very, very hard to believe, but they say in the name of one of the gedolim, one is allowed to lie about the age. Because since it's so common that people lie about the age, if you say 28, they're going to assume 31. So if the person's really 28, say 26. Very hard for me to believe, but that's what they say, because the assumption is that they're going to be pushing, they're going to be changing the age a little bit anyway. So you're allowed to go down, so the person will, anyway they're going to add 2-3 years. So if that's really the case, if people really do lie, then you have to assume that 26 means 28, and 28 means 31. So therefore, by saying 28, you're really saying 31. I once heard a psak like that, in the name of a gadol, that if on the wedding invitation, especially in Eretz Yisrael, it says the chuppah is going to be at 6, and you make the chuppah at 6, it's sheker. Because everybody knows that in Eretz Yisrael, the chuppah at 6 means the chuppah is at 7:30. Approximately. Sometimes a little bit earlier, sometimes a little bit later. I'm told in America, in the Syrian community, you call a chuppah for 4, it's going to start at 9. And everybody knows, it's not a lie. So if you call a chuppah for 4 and you start at 4, then that's not honest. Because everybody knows 4 doesn't mean 4. So again, I'm just throwing out different things I've seen in Sfarim, but a rav should definitely be consulted. I once heard a story about a family that made a wedding. It was a Syrian married to a non-Syrian, and they sent different invitations to the Syrian side, where they know that the wedding starts much later. I'm not saying it chas v'shalom is a gnai. Everybody knows that it starts much later. Everybody knows that in Eretz Yisrael, the chuppah is approximately an hour and a half after it's called for. So they send two sets of invitations. One set of invitation for the Syrian side, with a much earlier time, and they know to add a few hours. And one set of invitations for the non-Syrian side, for the people who would assume that the chuppah is going to start when it's called for. And somebody accidentally got a Syrian invitation, and they came a few hours early. So you have to know what people mean. In any event, the ideal is that the girl should tell the boy, and the boy should tell the girl, especially for the parents, The parents should tell the child, don't tell everything at once. But if there's something that they're going to be angry about you afterwards, then it should be revealed for the sake of honesty. It should be revealed as the relationship progresses. You don't want to there not to be shalom bayis afterwards. The person's going to look at you as a liar for the rest of your life. And for a third party, also encourage the couple to tell each other. But if you saw that it's not happening, you ask the girl, you say, well, what did the boy tell you about his faults? Or what did you find out? And if she doesn't say something that she really has to know, and the boy refuses to tell her, and it's something that might stop her from wanting to get married to this boy, then eventually she should be told. And if something that's definitely going to want to stop her from wanting to get married to this boy, then she should definitely be told. Not only that, let's say you see that the nature of these people is that they're just not going to work. It's not going to work. Their mentality is very different. And you see the shidduch is just, they're too far away from each other. Maybe they fell in love, but it's just not going to happen. So then you should say something. This is a chisarad atzum. This is something that's ma'akiv. This is something that's going to bring to your, you think it's going to bring to divorce. However, one has to be very careful. Because a lot of times you see in shiduchim, that you would think a couple, you would never ever put them together. And in the end, it's in ve'agefen, bin ve'agefen. So one should not be too quick to decide that this shidduch isn't a good shidduch. Sometimes they have very different mentalities, and they complement each other. So very often we don't know what's going to be a happy marriage. So then, in such a case, one shouldn't say. And also, they can tell that they have different mentalities. But sometimes the fact is that you see a couple, and you see a lot of times boys are taken by girls' looks, and she's such a beautiful girl. And you know that it's just, he's unable to see past her beauty. And that their mentalities are so different that he's not going to be happy with her. Once he gets over the initial excitement, he's not going to want to be married to her anymore. So in such a case, it's good to sit down with the boy, say to him, listen, I see you really, really love the girl, but you should just know that it seems to me that it's only because of her good looks. Make sure there's a lot more to it. Make sure that there are qualities in her that you like. You enjoy her company. So a lot of times it's better not to say it as an absolute. Let's say, don't marry this person, she's too different than you. But it's kedai to say, maybe look into it a little bit more first. Look into her qualities. And don't come to such a quick decision. Because sometimes people really are blinded by that. Or the girl has a PhD. Papa has dough, father's a lot of money. People are blinded. So therefore, one should definitely be spoken to beforehand to make sure that he's making the right decision. And again, all the toelis, because you know in the end it's bad for both sides. So we discuss in this year's Sweetest Friends is just what to do even if you're not asked. That was the basic focus of our shir. One, you should offer information. And the basic klal is information should only be offered if it's a chisaron atzum, or a chisaron shakar of lios atzum, something very, very important. But little things, one shouldn't offer information. One shouldn't go ahead and offer information that when the girl was in fourth grade, she was suspended. Who cares what happened when she was in fourth grade? Happens to be I was suspended in high school, and my wife married me, and I think she's happy. It's not something that... You don't have to know that the boy was caught smoking in the bathroom in high school. So that's something the girl has to know. Now he doesn't smoke. He knows smoking is bad for you. There are 43 cancerous agents in a cigarette. So that's not something that has to be said. That's not something that's at all going to affect the marriage. And I'll tell you something else, sweetest friend. This is not something that should ever be said. There are certain things that a person does in one's youth that you don't have to tell your spouse. It's not at all going to affect the marriage. And the person doesn't have to know about it before. And then the person doesn't have to know it afterwards. the person was a drug addict, and now they're over it. This is something that has to be known. Because if it's something that the person might go back to, then I really think you're saving the person. Imagine it was your own daughter. Imagine it's your own daughter and she went out to buy you. Because of the 12 steps, he's been helped. But this is something that might very well come back. So I wouldn't say it at the beginning because now he's over it, but eventually. But to offer a little piece, little snippets of information that are interesting, yes. And I remember when she was in camp and she had a boyfriend. And I remember once I was walking on a Friday night and it was a dark place and I saw them kissing. So she kissed a boy, and it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa to kiss a boy. But since then, she spent 2 years in Mechlala, and she went back to America, and now she's a very, very firm girl, and she's shomer negiyah, she's shomer everything, and she's a tzaddikas, and she davens 3 times a day, and she says the whole Sefer Tehillim every Shabbos Mevarachim, and she does chesed, and she goes to hospitals, and she goes to shiurim 4 times a week, and she's mamash of tzaddikas, and she made a mistake when she was younger. Everybody has to, that this is something, boy, he never has to know about it. This is not something that he ever has to know about, that nobody has to know about it, and it shouldn't. One, such information should definitely not be offered. So again, we gave here some basic guidelines, and I'm hoping b'siyata d'shmaya to have another shir about how to ask questions about a shidduch and about how to answer questions, because here we spoke more about offering information. Next time, Yiritz Hashem, b'li neder, Hashem should give us the kolach and the moach. We will talk about how to ask and how to answer, which we didn't discuss very much in this year. And I wish everybody a day filled with sweetness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be zocha that all our shiduchim should be milashon vatishkot. They should be almei menuchos, which is the name of this kuntres that we've been basing this year upon. Calm waters. And I want to reiterate that if one has a shaila, then a talmid chacham should definitely be consulted. Because sometimes you're darned if you do, darned if you don't. Great harm can be caused sometimes by saying, and great harm can be caused sometimes by not saying. And one has to know what Ratzon Hashem is. We should be zelcha again, to have marriages filled with shalom, and ava, and achva v'reyus, and mehera yishama be'arei Yehuda, uv'chutzos Yerushalayim, kol sasan v'kol simcha, kol chasan v'kol kala, Amen, can you rest on? Shalom, shalom, sweetest friends.